Let's reiterate that we're into a brand new year, although many of us have understood that the year really started back at Rosh Hashanah, you know, and in the prophetic purposes of God, we've been flowing already in something brand new from September last year, as the second of the blood moons took place. We're in the middle of this Shemitah. We're in the middle of this lunar tetrad. Those are words that most of you understand, and if you don't understand it, it's not relevant. It's not necessary to what the Lord wants you to understand today. But we're in the middle of a potent and powerful prophetic season. We really, really are. And as people of God, we got to keep that in mind. You know, these aren't just little entertainment, you know, illustrations for a Sunday sermon, you know, and, oh, wow, you know, sermon was good today. Why? Well, I heard something I'd never heard before. Really? That's how a sermon is good? You heard something you'd never heard before? Really? You know? And I was entertained, and I was tweaked, and I was intrigued. God is doing stuff we haven't seen, and He's giving us revelation we haven't received before, but it's all based upon what we've already received. There's nothing that colors outside the lines of this book or of the revelation of who Jesus is. He is the revelation. Nothing contradicts Him. Nothing. We're just getting our eyes open to seeing new aspects of it. And so we're in an amazing time, and coming into this new year of 2015, it just accentuates the movement, the prophetic season that we're in. And I guess I want to, number one, raise your expectations of this year in a way that Dave did as he exhorted us this morning to remind us that, you know, we don't have to start over. Some of us want to start over, and maybe that's the joy and the attraction of a new year. It's an opportunity to erase, and start over. Maybe this year we'll get it right. But in the things of the Lord, in the progress you've made, in the journey He has you on, He doesn't send you back to square one. You don't have to pass go, and without collecting $200. You know, You get to progress, you get to continue. So all that He has built into your life over the last 17 years or 45 years or 85 years or 93 years, it continues. And He builds on it. And you have every rightful expectation to believe that this year God is going to fill me with more. I'm going to love Him better. Hey, I'm going to have a more profound sense of my identity in Him than I've had before. And we get that identity not by venturing into or taking journeys into weird and wonderful theologies and new and different and never heard before doctrines or esoteric teachings and Gnostic ideas about things that other men of lesser brain, you know, simply can't apprehend. We actually go further up into God by remembering, you know what, it's pretty simple. We fool ourselves. We get messed up when we try and make something simple complicated. We make healing complicated, for crying out loud. We think, well, okay, I got to pray, but if the person doesn't have faith, or if they've got unforgiveness, or if they've got this or that or the other thing, well, no wonder they weren't healed. Well, you know what? That's not in the Bible. Jesus never gave people a checklist before He offered them healing. In fact, He healed a lot of people who ended up not believing in Him. Come on. Seriously. We make things too complicated. And we make them complicated so we can excuse our own unbelief. The whole thing hinges on those who believe. Signs and wonders will follow those who believe. That's you and me. Hey. I guess what it hinges on, however, is what do we believe? Not whether we have faith, but what do we believe? And I want to bring us back to some simplicity again this morning. I'm looking at Mark chapter 4 just for a few minutes and a few ideas. from verse 30, actually, verse 21. Jesus was saying to them, "A lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it, or under a bed? It's not brought to be put, it's brought to be put on a lampstand. For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret, but that it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And He was saying to them, "Take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. Just a few thoughts there. You know, a lamp isn't brought to be put under a basket. We sang about it this morning. We are the light of God. Scripture makes it very clear. You are the light. You are the light. By reason of the fact that the light lives in you, you are the light of God. We got to come out from undercover. And this is going to be a year when we're going to do it more than ever before. You're going to become less apologetic, less fearful than you've been before. You're going to be less concerned about reputation or strategies or programs or doing it right, and you're simply going to be the light that you are reborn to be. You are. Now, and I applaud that too. But guys, I don't have to unpack that because it doesn't get any more complicated than that. We have been given the privilege of loving people in Jesus' name. We have been given the privilege of displaying the beauty of Jesus to people around us, however, whenever, as often as possible, all the time. That's our role on the earth today, to display the goodness of God, to display the victory of the cross, to declare freedom over people's lives, identity over individuals who are floundering in confusion and uncertainty and hopelessness because they are beset by the strategies of the enemy that in fact have been rendered powerless at the cross, but they don't know it. They don't know it. And your role is to go to someone, Eve, and simply say, did you know that God loves you? And I tell you what, you'd be amazed at how powerful that can be. We are called to be light. So get out from under the covers. Let's stop thinking reasonably. Let's stop being reasonable Christians who are looking for a way to do this well, you know, in a way that doesn't give too much offense, doesn't put up walls, doesn't make me look like a total idiot. Let's just be the light of God. Let's just do it. And be careful what you listen to, Jesus says. What's he talking about? Be careful what you listen to. Stop listening to the enemy. Stop listening to yourself and your neighbor. Stop listening to the newscast. Stop listening to what seems reasonable. I'm not saying don't turn off your TV. I'm not saying remain uninformed and blissfully ignorant. What I'm saying is don't let those things dictate who you are. Because we, even as believers, you know, the word came this morning from Jeff or from David about the garment? That was from David this morning. And we took in the sustenance following Jeff's word. Hey, we stop at that service station. We come to be filled up. And David had a word about the garment. You know, so often we listen to the assessment of the world around us, of those who are around us, who look at us, who speak into our lives, who remind us of the litany of our failures or insoluble challenges, and we start nodding our head. And we go, oh, wow, you know, you're right. And you know what we're doing when we stop and we listen to those things in an intentional way? We take that robe of righteousness. We start slipping it off our shoulders and we become vulnerable. We expose ourselves to the strategies of the enemy. You need to stop doing that right now in Jesus' name. You need to slip back into that garment provided by the blood of Jesus and stand inviolable against the strategies of the enemy. Stop listening to the rubbish. You know, we can short-circuit the purpose of God in our own lives. He can start something. He can get something going, and we can uproot it by our negative declarations. We're very good at giving litanies of what is wrong and speaking out lists that are provocation for stress and uncertainty and depression and fear. Because by that, we think that we are demonstrating maturity, insight, wisdom. You know, it's the old saying, you know. What was that, Kipling's line, you know, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs, you'll be a man, my son. And then it's been tweaked into, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and you don't know the entire situation. You know that, how that's been tweaked that way? You know, and it's suggested as a measure of wisdom. And so, you know, a truly wise Christian, a truly mature Christian, how you doing? Oh, man, if you knew what I knew, you wouldn't be smiling right now. Deep darkness covering the earth, you know. Evil increasing, society in decline. Gross darkness. That's fun to say, you know. Gross darkness. What is gross darkness? I don't know, but that's my version. You know, the New American translates Isaiah 60. Gross darkness. Well, it sounds pretty bad, but it follows on his glory rising upon us. Hey. Now, I'm not trying to cause, I don't want you to be uninformed of darkness and deep darkness. That's a given. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that that's the situation in the earth today. My word, evil coming out of the closet, evil uncovered, unbelievable. I'm astonished that we can sit here this morning and talk about beheadings and not be totally blown away because we've become familiar with the headlines. Another beheading. Or another 100 beheadings. And it's become part of the fabric of the world in which we live. Whereas, I'm serious, don't you think, you know, 20 years ago, if you'd heard a new headline about a beheading, you'd be going, what? But today, oh, isn't that sad? Another one. Isn't that horrible? Yeah? Gross darkness covering the earth. Yeah? But that's not where we live. That is not the measure whereby we measure our own lives or what Jesus has done for us. Hey? Yeah. Be careful what you listen to. You can short-circuit God's purpose in your life. You really can. Or the good things that he's already begun to do through you, you yourself can short-circuit them. You can uproot them before they've come to germinate. Just before they're ready. So often we give up just in the 11th hour. Just before the bud is about to pop through the soil, we say, oh, well, I guess God said no or didn't hear me. It's not working. And we give up. Don't give up, guys. Don't give up. You know why? Listen what it goes on to say. In verse 26, Jesus was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself doesn't know. The soil produces crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Hey. When Jesus said the kingdom of God is like, it pays us to pay attention. Oh, Jesus is telling us what the kingdom is like. This is good. Okay, this is really good. So we pay attention because we live in the kingdom. We are citizens of the kingdom, and this is what it's like. It's like a farmer who takes seed. Who gives the seed to the farmer? Who provides the seed? Huh? I'm really asking. Because when I didn't hear anybody answer immediately, I thought, I better get an answer here. Who gives seed to the sower? God gives seed to the sower, right? So God provides the seed in the first place. What does the sower do? He sows the seed. That's all he does. That is all he does. What does the light do? It gives light. That's all it does. What are you being called to do this year, this wonderful new year? Sow seed. What do you do with the seed? You sow it. How do you sow it? God loves you. Can I help you? What's going on? Can I pray for you? Can I embrace you? Hey, you're sowing seed. You have no idea what's going to come of it because you have no power over the seed. Not at all. All you are called to do is sow it. Sow it. It's simple. We make it complicated. We do. You don't have to go to a seminar on evangelism, power evangelism, or any other kind of evangelism. All you got to do is sow the seed. You've got the seed. How do I know you've got the seed? You're here. You're worshiping Jesus. Jesus resides in you. Jesus is in you. Jesus is in you. You've got the seed. You do. Just sow it. Just throw it out there. It's simple. It really is simple. And then we read that what does the sower do? He goes to sleep. He hasn't a clue what's going to happen. He doesn't know how it happens. And the next day he wakes up, you know, and down the track all of a sudden starts to grow. Did he do that? No. But he goes, you know, if we're listening to the wrong things, the sower goes to sleep and he can't sleep. It's kind of like Jeannie and I last night. Flipping and flopping and turning, listening to the dog snore. Got it easy for you. He sleeps under the bed. Now, when things are right in the world, Ginny has to struggle with the dog snoring under the bed and me snoring next to her on the bed. And she just kind of finds herself in the rhythm between those two wonderful sonorous sounds. But last night, only the dog. Okay? Huh? When we listen to the wrong things, we don't even sleep. And the sower who's listening to the wrong thing, now what's he going to do? He's going to sow a seed, and then he's going to fret. And he's going to, oh, boy, I hope this works. Oh, my gosh, come on, God, please do something. I don't see anything happening. When is this going to come place? I don't know. Did I sow too much seed? Is it going to rain? I don't know. You know. And we get stressed out. Okay? And God, you know, I don't know what God does. You know, I think sometimes he strokes his beard and he shakes his head if we can assign those things to this amazing, beautiful, beyond description God who has always been and always will be. But I guess we can, because he says we were made in his image and after his likeness. So there's a distant, there's a familial resemblance. Hey? So, is that how the sower goes? No, it says he goes to sleep with a clear conscience, at rest, sleeps the sleep of a righteous man, hey, wakes up in the morning and expects a crop. It's simple. Now, you may not see it when you say to somebody, you tell them God loves them or that you love them or that you forgive them or that you're sorry for what you did. You know, you might get rejected. You might get the door slammed in your face. You might not see the fruit of your casting the seed. But it will come. That is the promise of God. It's the promise of God. He gave you the seed. The seed is good. He wants it to grow more than you do. It's going to come. You may not see it. Somebody else may see it. But the sower or the harvester, whoever, we all get to rejoice together. You just got to be casting that seed. You really, really do. He goes on to say in verse 30, how shall we picture the kingdom of God? I'm going to end with this, okay? How shall we picture the kingdom of God? Now, when Jesus says that, don't you just sit up and pay attention? He's about to tell us how to picture the kingdom of God. This is good. This is really, really good. Hey, and he says, or by what parable shall we present it? It's like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is sown, it grows up. And it becomes larger than all the plants and forms large branches that gives shade to the birds and the beasts in the garden. It's like a mustard seed. Yeah, we're familiar with the parable. Smaller than all the other seeds. Smaller than all the stuff in your life. Smaller than anything you can name. Here's the kingdom. Here comes the kingdom. That some of you, still in a religious spirit, when you come to the Lord's table, you take the smallest possible crumb you can see between your fingers because you think it's more spiritual to take less. You know? And that's why David said, take a chunk. Take a big piece, yeah? But here Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which you can't see. I can feel it between my fingers right now, that crumb of bread. He says, it's like that, but it's smaller than anything in your life, anything that besets you. But if you sow it, you cast it on the ground, what is the promise? What does Jesus say? Maybe it'll grow. Maybe it'll produce fruit. What's he say? When sown on the ground, and the ground is men's hearts, yeah, what? It will grow. It will grow. So whether we're talking about Jesus' life incrementally in you, as David even reminded us as we went into communion, when Jesus comes into us like yeast, the nature of it is to grow. He grows in you. He's growing in you. He's growing in you. He's filling you with light. He's filling you with strength. He's filling you with confidence. He's driving out the rubbish. You are putting off the old man and you're putting on the new. You're becoming more and more like him. And this year is going to be amazing as you guys continue that miraculous transformation into the image of Jesus. This house and every house that names his name and pursues him with honesty and humility are going to be transformed in such a way that at the end of the day, the world is going to see a representing of Jesus such as they have never seen in the history of mankind. We're going to outstrip the garden. Some people like to say, and I had this conversation with someone yesterday, that we're going back to the garden. We're going to get back to the garden. I said, well, no, We're going beyond the garden. In the days of the garden, you had the garden, but that the whole world needed to be subdued by obedient men. We failed in our assignment, and Jesus had to come in our place. Hey, but in our future, the whole world will be subdued. The whole kingdom will be complete. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. It's going to be amazing. And you're going to participate in that eventuality by Jesus growing in you. Hey, when you sow the seed grows. It is the promise of God. Hey. Well, here's the truth, guys. We don't need an altar call here now this morning to help you know that you are right with God. You are right with God. You are. You got to understand that. You got to know that. You got to stand into that. You've got to discount the evidence of your circumstances and take into account once again afresh the truth of God's word. He declares you to be the very righteousness of God. He declares that you are whole, that in Christ Jesus you are complete, that you are in fact seated with him in heavenly places. That is to say, you can have the view of the Father regarding your circumstances. You're not standing on earth pleading with the Father to take note of your issues and then deal with them. You are in fact postured with him, viewing your circumstances through his eyes. And you see that, yes, some things are forming his character more completely in you. Yes, some things are confusing and mysterious and seemingly insoluble, but they do not impact your posture. You go, well, that's curious. Why is that happening? Why has my healing not come? Why has my family not been restored? Why have my finances just totally crashed? I don't really understand that, but I do understand this, that he is faithful. He never fails. His love never fails. I am a son, I'm a daughter of heaven. And I want to encourage you guys, this is, if I could share one thing with you as I close, that I learned last year. I actually preached on it just before we went to Israel. And it's a simple thing that I've been doing of late, and I found it to be very useful. I would encourage you to get alone on a regular basis, especially when you are beset by facts. Yeah? Get alone and simply start thanking Jesus. Thank the Father for what you are. Father, I thank you that your light is in me, that there's no darkness in me. I thank you, Lord, that you've given me wisdom and understanding for every situation and circumstance. I thank you, Lord, that your healing is sufficient for me, that your blood is more than enough for my health and wholeness, for my presence of mind, for my prospects, for my worldview. I thank you, Lord, that I'm your son, I'm your daughter. I thank you that I am loved by you, seen by you, regarded by you, known by you, named by you. I thank you that you are for me, that you are passionate towards me. I thank you that you govern my steps. I thank you, Lord, that even when I'm unaware of it, your wisdom guides me, that you have given me the very mind of Christ. Thank him for your very identity. And I'll tell you what, that way, whenever the enemy thinks to trip you up by whispering facts into your ear and causing you to listen to the wrong thing, be careful what you listen to. And whenever he does that, if you will become habitual in your response, that whenever he does that, you think to yourself, oh, nice try. But you step aside and you go, no, I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of the King. I'm full of light. I'm a carrier of the life of Jesus. And today, in spite of all that, and precise, in fact, in spite of that, to spite that, I'm going to go sow some seed today. Yeah. I'm going to go right now. I'm going to go tell somebody how much God loves them. I don't care what they say. I don't care how they respond, but I'm going to be a seed sower. I'm going to stand, I'm going to wear the robe, I'm going to stay in that place of grace, and no matter how the enemy tries, he's going to discover it will come back to bite him. Hey? Yeah. We're trying too hard to be what we already are, yeah? Sometimes. So let's just relax, get into that place, and thank Jesus for what he has already made you to be. Okay. It's not some far off, you know, mystical hope over the horizon that one day I'm going to be a son of God or a daughter of the King. It's now. It's right now. It's right now. Your salvation wasn't just to give you a ticket to heaven. Your salvation was to change the way you live and think now. And when you scatter your seed, when you love people in Jesus' name, understand your goal is not to get another one to heaven. Oh, yeah, sure, that's part of it. But your goal is to set someone free so that they can live now with the understanding that you've gained by the grace of God. It's a different way to think, a different way to see. Hey, a different way to listen. It's who we are. And Father, we bless you for that. We thank you, Jesus. You're so amazing. Father, forgive us when we have, in frustration or in unbelief, Lord God, we've uprooted the very things that you've begun to plant by our hand. When we, in impatience, have dug up the very things that are about to sprout. Lord God, how often we have done that. We declare to you, Father, this morning as a church at Flame Tree that we will remain patient and expectant. And we will continue to believe you, Father, for the full work of the cross, for every salvation, for every healing, Lord God, because our faith is in you. Our faith is in your love for mankind, for every man, woman, and child. And your love never fails. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. I'm sure I had some more really good stuff to say. And I'm just saying that in case you thought what I already said was boring. But there was really good stuff on here. But God is good, and God bless you guys. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance. The Lord turn, hey, and regard you and give you his wholeness, his shalom. Amen. If you want some prayer, come on up here. If you want some prophetic ministry, come on up here to the right. And God bless you. We'll see most of you tonight as Paul is going to minister the word tonight. And we'll continue this entry into a new year with great expectation. God bless you all.